Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Well, away we go. Welcome to season 15 and episode number 3,292. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
I'm out.
Montgomery!
And you are in the Men's Room. On tap today, Ryan Castle joins us. Once again, we will sit and spin, and we will get uncomfortable today with 10 songs that make you say that is not okay. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, a Men's Room Shot of the Day, fun listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Clack, clack, drinking a dog.
All right, here we go. Drunk Kentucky man losing an arm wrestling match to his son gets so mad that he has a standoff with the cops. Meanwhile, a man trying to kill a woodchuck on his property pulls off one of golf's all-time greatest shots. Florida woman goes all in, giving birth on a pontoon boat on the 4th of July. A drunk man forces his way behind the counter at Subway to make his own sandwich and upset that they don't have rye. He's doing a pastrami. An Alabama prisoner worker pulls a gun at a Chick-fil-A drive-thru. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, sometimes what should be an ordinary interaction isn't. In Australia, for example, a cop pulled over a speeding pickup truck, and that's a pretty routine traffic violation. The difference in this case was that the driver was speeding because at the same time, he was doing battle with a snake that he did not know was in his truck. And, of course, because it's in Australia, the snake in question, an eastern brown snake, one of the most venomous on Earth. I think most of us agree we'd rather deal with a squirrel more than a venomous snake. And in Oklahoma, a man was prepared to deal with a squirrel, or squirrels, that he heard rustling around in his attic. The problem was, it was not squirrels in his attic. It was a grown-ass man who decided to start living in his attic. He had no idea. Surprise. In Tennessee, a woman returned home after a week away to find a stranger in her home. What makes this difference is it wasn't really like a burglary. The stranger was wearing the homeowner's clothes, cooking a meal in her kitchen, while helping herself to a delicious bottle of wine. Then things got weird. Like we said, sometimes what should be an ordinary interaction is anything but. And that is what today's question is all about. Today, we want to know, person, place, or thing, What was a strange encounter?
Be a part of the Big Show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Text 77999 and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the conversation. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Hello, Mitchell, and away we go. Welcome to season 15 and episode number 3,292. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Oh, man, we're changing things up today. From what we understand, Ryan Castle, he does not have a Zoom meeting he has to attend today, so he's actually going to be live in studio with us, which is going to be a big deal. We've only had him in here like once or twice, maybe during the entire pandemic. It's been fantastic. We will see him live in person today. What are you laughing about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought he was calling.
Oh, is he calling? Oh, I don't know. Oh, maybe he's not. All right. Well, I thought he might be coming in here.
When he left, he was like,
Well,
I was like, are we doing it live?
Wow, that dashed your hopes.
Jeez. Okay, maybe we won't see him.
I don't know. I thought maybe you were setting me up for something. No. I was like,
All the special treats. Well, boy, do we have a special sit and spin for you today. This one is simply amazing, and you will not believe it when you hear it. Basically, what we have is 10 songs that make you say, that is not okay. Now, a lot of things right now are not okay. We understand that.
Nothing is okay right now.
But there are a lot of famous songs out there. In hindsight, when you listen to these songs,
oh yeah,
you go, oh my God, that is not okay. Now, it's not the obvious choices that you might think in all these cases, but we do this in honor of a man named Benny Mardones. Now, last week, he passed away at the age of 73 years old, okay? This guy had one song, that's it, nothing else. The song was called Into the Night. I want to say they released it two or three times, actually. But the problem is, the song is a love song.
Yeah.
But the video accompanied by the song is one of the most disturbing and creepy things that you will ever see in your life.
And not just because of his hairstyle.
Right. This guy would be like Gary Glitter, except for he didn't get busted doing anything.
Right.
Based on the lyrics alone, though, you know what I'm saying? You get the idea.
Yeah, right over there, Mike.
Mike, you gonna die?
Okay.
All right. The first lyric of the song says,
that's an awkward sound.
She's just 16 years old. Leave her alone, they say. Separated by fools, being the dad, who don't know what love is yet. And in the video, he goes and knocks on the door, and dad says, no, you're not going to date my 16-year-old daughter.
Grown man.
So what's he do? He goes back to a payphone, tries to call her again, and then he breaks into her window and climbs through the window and unrolls a magic carpet and then takes her on a magic carpet ride.
And that's what every father hopes happens to the 16-year-old daughter, that a creepy old man hits on her and takes her away on a magic carpet.
This is, and the video makes it worse, and you do not want him anywhere near your dog, near a family member, anything like this. But he did, in fact, pass away. That is not one of the songs we're gonna play for you today. We've got songs that you know them, you love them. Steve, it's almost like when we do the audio Daily Double Big Dummy. You just don't know all the time what people are saying.
You've heard the song every day of your life. You've been singing it. Then you go, oh, my God.
You gloss right through it. You know what I mean? And then when you listen to it and you go, holy cow, that is not okay.
It's horrible.
So we have 10 songs that make you say that is not okay. Coming up with Ryan Castle. And our question today, person, place, or thing, what was a strange encounter? Now, one thing that we know to be true, whether it is a person, a place, situationally, or a thing, an encounter is something that you don't expect. If you're going to, back in the day, go see Metallica at, Key Arena or Tacoma Dome or whatever, you don't say, ooh, I encountered Metallica last night.
Right.
Now, you might have encountered a guy naked in the parking lot throwing up all over himself who just defecated and everything else. That's something that you encounter.
Right.
Metallica was not.
I feel like an encounter is not something you're anticipating.
Sure.
You don't use the word unless encounter, you did not think this was going to happen.
That's exactly right.
If you went to a Bulls game back in the day and ran into Carmen Electra, you had an encounter with her.
Yes, you did.
Seeing the Bulls play was what you went to see.
Correct. I did have an encounter with Carmen Electra, in fact.
Because you did not know that that was going to happen. Your intent was to take a plane ride home.
I did not know it was even her, and I made the wrong comment.
Yeah. And that's the difference between an encounter and everything else. As far as just the definition, you did not think that this was going to happen. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. Maybe you met your favorite whoever just randomly at some
sure.
point. That's an encounter. But you also have situations where you run into someone and it's not the best circumstances.
That's generally what it is.
And you see a lot of that now on social media about people who are running into each other. And, hell, we'll start with that one. There was a man was filmed yelling and threatening shoppers at a Costco in Fort Myers, Florida. Reportedly, after an elderly woman asked him why he wasn't wearing a mask. Basically, the clip posted to social media shows the man accusing the shoppers of harassing him at the Gulf Coast Town Center warehouse. "I'm not harassing you," the person filming replies. You're just coming too close to me." "I feel threatened," the man shouts, clenching his fists and advancing toward the camera. "Back up. Threaten me again. Back the F up. Put your effing phone down." Person filming does stop at that point. The man was escorted out of the store by Costco staff. To give Costco the credit, they escorted him out, made him wait inside, and monitored him until he left. And then they sent someone to the car to make sure that the person filming it was okay. By the way, Florida has no mask mandate, but Fort Myers does.
Right.
Where he is and where he is shopping. So
have you seen the video?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, update on that. The man was identified as a local insurance salesman. He was a top seller. And his employer announced on a Facebook post that it doesn't let him go. The guy is the guy's been fired.
Different. I feel threatened.
By an old woman.
I do remember being about his age, and nothing was more threatening to me than an elderly woman.
In a Costco.
He's so aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, I feel threatened if I see somebody walk up to the area where they have, you know, some delicious samples. I can see maybe there's two left. I don't know, is this person going to take them both? Are they going to take one?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, don't take them both, you know, because it takes a little time to cook them back up. Then maybe a threat.
I felt threatened by a young girl at a wedding. They had salmon or they had chicken, which is the standard fare, right? But I hate cooked salmon. I just don't like it. There was plenty of cooked salmon left. There was one piece of delicious-looking chicken. Yeah, she's on one side of the buffet kind of table. I'm on the other side. We're starting at opposite ends, but we get to this last piece of chicken at the same time. And I didn't have kids yet, so I did not care about kids so much. The difference was I knew adults were looking. Honestly, that's all it came down to. Like, your parents are probably looking at this. So we're looking at each other, and she's trying to be nice. And in the end, I'm like, no, no, you go ahead. And as soon as she put it on her plate, I'm like, that little bitch.
Chicken's gone. Chicken's gone.
Dude, I ended up eating this crappy salmon. Mm-hmm. I hated it.
So you can have an encounter with a person. We've got plenty more
stories
of people who have run into people in their attics that didn't even know they were living in their home. People have come home and found that people are showering in their home, enjoying wine, getting all cleaned up, and acting like nothing's wrong with the fact that they've eaten some of their food.
Someone just said, can we get the Carmen Electra story? I will sum this up quickly. It was a work trip back for an old station, AM station back in Baltimore. They had sent me to Costa Rica for the opening of a new sport book / casino, right? And this was cool. And people that worked on sports stations around the country, it's like 20, 40 of us, we all went there for this big opening, which is a whole nother story in and among itself. But the entertainment for the opening of this casino was the Pussycat Dolls. And at that time, Carmen Electra, I want to say it was like her idea, whatever.
I think it was her idea.
She's part of it, okay?
She's definitely part of it.
And but when I'm at the casino, at the point that they went on stage to regale us with their horrible music, I continued drinking with a couple of buddies that I'd made. And it disappeared, all right? So I didn't see the show. I did not care. It didn't matter to me. Whatever. The next morning, we're all about to fly back to the States, and I'm at the airport. So at the airport, this is San Juan, Costa Rica, I believe, or San Jose, Costa Rica. And the airport, they're much smaller than your average U.S. airport. And we realized, me and this guy that I met from Cleveland, when we rolled into the airport, and we are very hungover, probably still drunk, honestly, but the line is massive. Like, it is ridiculous just to get up to the ticket agent to get your boarding pass and all that. So we realize there's no one in the line for first class. So this guy taps me and he says, look, let's just get in that line. We're not first class, but we'll just play stupid, which I do well. Sometimes they call me a method actor. But we roll up to this first class window. We zip right up there. This woman looks down at her tickets and says, oh, you guys aren't first class. So we did the whole, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel so stupid. She's like, no. You know what? I can just take care of it for you, fellas. And that's exactly what we thought would happen. So she does her stuff. I mean, we're in and out of there in 2 or 3 minutes. And there's this short little woman standing with a bunch of other short little people off to the side. And this short woman says, smooth. And I said, look, man, I'm not standing in that big-ass line. You hope for the charity of the nice woman behind the counter. And she hooked us up. She said, well, what are you doing here? So, well, they opened this casino, and they flew us down, blah, 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 everything I just explained to you. And the woman said, well, did you see the Pussycat Dolls? And I said, no, man, it's just not my thing. And in the end, it's not like I'm going to F Carmen Electra. Those are my words. Well, this tiny woman pulls on her big-ass sunglasses. It's Carmen Electra. So now it's a little awkward, but now that we're looking at each other, I just said, am I right? She's like, yeah, you're right. I said, okay,
yeah,
then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she did go out with Dennis Rodman, and you have been mistaken for Dennis Rodman, so maybe you have a chance.
No,
I was thinking,
you know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody in this room has a chance of at least kind of looking like someone, that I don't look like Dave Navarro, either in his head. I mean, there is Dennis Rodman.
I get mistaken for Dave Navarro all the time.
Because you're shirtless all the time.
Shirtless and wearing eyeliner.
Yeah, that is why I asked the follow-up question, exactly. Am I right? Because I am tracking with you.
Am I right?
Because if she had said, no, you're wrong. You're like, all right. Yeah, that's all. It was just an awkward little thing.
Yeah, and as we say, encounters can be things. You don't even know what they are. We start with a story again. The latest example of a multiple UFO sighting happened in the skies above Seattle, Washington. Based on video, eyewitness
Buffalo
evidence, and on July 4th, the latest video sent to UFO and alien expert Scott Waring was described by the eyewitness. And, of course, as soon as I read this story this morning in the paper, not the paper, but online, I realized that, oh, man, this is in the Rainier Tower. Now, the Rainier Tower is 5 blocks away from where we are on Fifth Avenue. So, typically, I'll walk by Rainier Tower a couple times a day, and I always look up at that thing because it's just amazing. It's the second highest building in the Seattle skyline. When you are below it and you look up, you realize the magnitude of that building. You look up and you think to yourself, now that Amazon is backed out, who in the F is going to occupy all that office space? So, you have all these thoughts, all right? But it's a beautiful architectural structure. And so the story goes, this guy and his wife had finished eating dinner in downtown Seattle. They were walking along Fifth to get back to our parked car when we stopped to take a picture with an iPhone 11 Pro Max of the Rainier Square Tower. It is still under construction, and when completed, it is, in fact, the second tallest building in Seattle. So,
that's that new one.
Yeah, they texted the photo to their daughters on their family text group. Didn't see anything unusual with the picture at the time. They're just taking a picture of the Rainier Tower. Well, the next morning, upon closer examination, they noticed an irregularity in the skyline, and upon enhancing the photo, there appears to be a disc-shaped object. The exterior surface is not visible. It blends in with the sky with 3 visible oblong turquoise teal-colored windows. And
thank you for the specificity of the color.
This is what they were saying. Visible light beams. The building has a unique design, non-standard window features. It could be a reflection of the sun, an anomaly, whatever. But they are looking at this and saying, guys, this is a great example of a UFO getting caught due to the digital eye seeing what the human eye could not. Basically, it was an accidental photo of a UFO. It is possible. Either way, it's unidentified. They don't know what it is,
sure.
But it's something different than they'd seen before. So our question, person, place, or thing, what was a strange encounter? 206-421-ROCK.
All right, so one of the first things you brought up, Miles, was, and you just brought this up randomly, said, imagine like you go to a Metallica concert. Someone says, ironic you mentioned it. I was on my way to see Metallica back in 1985 with a friend, both of us 15 years old. We had an encounter with an older man who had stuffed a My Little Pony, and it was sticking out of the fly of his pants. He followed us down the road yelling, ride my pony. I'll never forget that, man.
See, that is not what you expect when you go see Metallica.
It really isn't.
No.
I expect a lot of things, but not that. Someone else says, man, we were tripping bees on some acid, and we all encountered this dude with one leg, totally pumping out this hill on his bicycle. With one leg. Totally blew our minds.
Okay.
I will say, my buddy, now, this is the first place I moved to when I moved out of my parents' house. Five of us live together. One of my best friends, he and I are sharing a bedroom. He started dating this chick, Diane, I think was her name. And she was cool, man. She was real cool. Walked with a little bit of a limp. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They're dating. What I did not know is that she had a prosthetic leg. So I walk into our bedroom one night. I know they had had time to do whatever they're going to do, and they're dead asleep in his bed. And our beds are separated by like a dresser. And in between our beds, I see, when I walk in, because I'm not going to flip on the lights, a human leg sitting in,
mm-hmm.
and I freaked the hell out, woke them both up, and she has to explain. She's like, geez, dude, it's my leg. I'm like, the hell is your leg doing there? And she pulls out her little nub and explains it to me, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. She's like, I thought you knew. I'm like, I just thought you had a limp, man. Please do not leave your leg in the middle of my bedroom floor, because I was not expecting that.
I think the weirdest body part I've seen, as far as just blowing my mind, I was working in Baltimore, and camera, I think I was doing afternoons. The midday guy had just left. He was a part-time guy, but he was like the number one guy who would fill in. He was on the weekends all the time. And so he was a great guy, and I knew him very well. I also knew that he was legally blind, and I knew that he had trouble seeing out of both of his eyes. He had been partially
legally blind.
But he could see to some degree. He could see shapes. He could see shadows if you got close to him. You know, there were certain things he could, in fact, read if he held the paper, like, right up to his face.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know, though, that Mark did not have both of his eyes. He only had partial vision in one eye. This never was a problem. As a matter of fact, they kind of brailled the board up for him and did all kinds of other stuff. From a legal standpoint, they did all these things so that he could run all that stuff. And so he leaves, and his girlfriend always picked him up, obviously. So he had to wait for his ride, and then she would call up, and then he would go downstairs and, you know, get in the car and get a ride home. And so in any event, when you're in the world of radio, the last thing that you want to see is the hotline ring, because the hotline means...
Typically, you're in trouble.
You are in trouble, because most of the time...
I don't answer it.
If the guy who's replacing you is late, you might get that hotline call, like, hey, I'm going to...
Sure. If someone's late, you pick up the phone.
You know that you should be out of there at that point in time, and you know damn well who's calling.
But if it's the beginning or ending of a shift, you get it.
Sure.
Right. So I just get underway. I do a couple breaks. The hotline goes off. I immediately get that heart thing going, like, oh, God, what did I say this time?
What did I do?
And I pick it up, and it's Mark.
He's like, hey, Miles.
And I was like, yeah, Mark, what's happening? He's like, my girlfriend just looked at me when I turned to her in the car, and she said that I don't have my eye in. And I was wondering if I left it on the board. And I'm like, your eye? And he's like, yeah, one of my eyes are fake. I didn't know that.
Right.
I never knew Mark had a...
You had no idea.
It was so realistic looking. I mean, this thing was... I mean, it was like a porcelain doll, disturbingly real. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even describe
this... That's good.
This eyeball, right? And he said, did I leave it on the board? And I looked down. I was like, oh, God, Mark! Oh, God, yes! It's on the board! I mean, there was no subtlety. And oh, God!
You
oh,
did
God!
Not notice this eyeball?
Now I can't stop looking at it.
It's looking at you, too.
I'm looking at it, and it's looking at me, and I don't want to touch it, because, you know, or anything like that. And I'm like, yes, your eyes. He's like, okay, I'll turn around, and then we'll come back and get my eyeball. And now, okay, it seems like that this 5-minute turnaround that he's been gone, it seems like now it's taking him an hour and a half to return. And this eyeball is sitting right on the counter, right where I, like, turn up the volume, right, someplace where I always got to look. You know what I mean? And there it sits. And, I mean, it was so realistic and just so weird.
Did you touch it at all?
No, because I thought if I touched it and he popped it back in his head, it could get infected or something. I didn't know if it was a contact or whatever the deal was. But it was kind of like a half orb.
Not even with a pen?
No, it was like a full
ball.
You
didn't move it?
No.
I would have touched it.
No. Well, but he... Okay, so...
Did you smell it?
So here's what happens, all right? Mark walks back in the studio. Oh, yeah, man, there it is. And he takes it, and I mean, like... In a matter of you, like, picking up something to take a drink or something, he just picks that thing and goes, pops it right back in his head, blinks twice, and looks at me, and he looks normal again and walks out.
You shouldn't have just touched it.
I was like, whoa! Like, I didn't know. I thought it'd be a process.
How did he get there?
His girlfriend turned around. Basically, what happened was this.
He gets in the car.
He's in the passenger seat. His right eye is not there. It's just a big hole in his head, right?
Yeah.
He turns to say something to his girlfriend like this. His girlfriend says, Mark, you don't have your eye in. He went, oh, no.
Oops.
Oops. And then called me. And I was like, oh, my God. But it was so fast. Like, he picked it up. He popped an M&M in his mouth.
Did it make a noise?
Yeah, it kind of did. It was like, and then he blinked 2 or 3 times like this and opened it up. Like, and I was like, oh, my God.
It's got to be like a socket, right?
Yeah, I mean, he puts it inside the eye socket. But the thing is that I saw Mark, I could see through his head.
You know what I mean? Like
when you walked in?
Yeah, yeah, it was like this dark hole. And I mean,
can you see anything? Does it get like pink and moist, or is it just shadow?
There's no, it's all shadow because light doesn't get in. You know what I mean? It's such a small slit, but the whole inside is open. You know what I mean? So I'm looking through him. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, like I see it inside his soul. It's so weird. Then I swear to God, he went and walked right out. I was like, oh God, oh God. I mean, like the whole rest of the night and afternoon, I was like, geez. Freak me the hell out. Our question, person, place, or thing. What was a strange encounter? 206-421-ROCK. Back with your calls next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The men's room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
We're going down under. Queensland police pulled over a 27-year-old man going 76 miles per hour on the Dawson Highway around 5 o'clock local time on June 15th. The driver, identified only as Jimmy, claimed a brown snake had slithered its way through the truck's gear shift and attacked him. I'm driving along at 62 miles an hour, and I just started to brake, he said. And the more I moved my legs, it started to wrap around me. Its head just started striking at the driver's seat chair in between my legs.
Ooh.
Jimmy told police he used a knife and his seatbelt to kill the eastern brown snake. By the way, that is one of the world's deadliest snakes.
Of course, it's in Australia.
Before speeding to the nearest hospital, you see, he appeared in a state of shock, telling the officer he feared for his life and was not sure whether any of the strikes had actually bit him or not. I think it bit me. It was in the car with me, he can be heard saying in the police video. You can feel my heart, mate. The officer found the dead snake in the back of Jimmy's truck, called for help from his patrol car. Although the traffic officer had heard his fair share of excuses for speeding, he soon realized this was not just a colorful tale, promptly sought him medical assistance. Paramedics arrived, determined that while Jimmy had not been bitten, he was actually suffering from shock at the time.
I bet he was.
It was pretty terrifying. I've never been so happy to see red and blue lights. Our question, person, place, or thing, what was a strange encounter? 206-421-ROCK.
Real quick comment here. This is piggybacking on your story, Miles, of the guy you used to work with who left his eye in the studio, his glass on.
Yes.
It says, my niece, she was 2 years old when she got retinoblastoma. She had her eye removed to save her life. Well, she got a fake eye, and her favorite thing to do until she was about 8 years old was to take her out and then put it in a glass of water at a restaurant and then scream and tell the waitress it came that way.
Oh, no. I want a soda.
Hello, Clark. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, guys. Love the show. Love the Carmen Electra story, by the way.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was a weird moment, but I got to meet her.
It would have been cool if it worked out the other way. That'd be a great story.
Hell yeah, it'd have been cool. Dude, I will tell you this. So, she's better looking without makeup than she is with. I mean that honestly. It was, whew, man, oh man.
Wow. Bang. Mm-hmm. All right. So this was a thing. Well, an animal, actually. Not a brown snake, but just as deadly. So I'm a plumber, right? And my buddy sells me this trick boat. And he says, hey, I don't want any money. I want you to come over and replumb my house after on the evenings, the weekends, whatever, right? No problem. He says, go out there after work. He says, let yourself in the back door. I've been there before. He says, have a beer, whatever. And then when I get there, you know, we'll get after it. Well, anyway, so I walk in the back door. I got my copper box and all my tools and stuff, right? And I pry the door open, and I hear a horse galloping at me from inside this guy's house. Of course, it wasn't a horse. It turns out to be a mountain lion.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. So my redneck carpenter buddy, contractor guy, had bought a bunch of property in Packwood, Washington. Anyway, long story short, he was going to put a 12-foot fence up, and he had this redneck vision of having this pet cougar like Grizzly Adams and a bear or something. Anyway, so this cougar, which I found out later was only about 6 months old, but it was the size of a small horse.
Yeah,
it
was so what?
Building. It gets a little better. So hold on real quick. I hear this galloping, right? I look up. I see this the most beautiful creature you've ever seen galloping, sprinting at me. It jumps about halfway across the building. Now, I'm in slow motion. I drop all my tools. Stuff's flat. Hits the floor, going everywhere. Copper fittings, you know, everything's all slow motion. This thing jumps up and literally leaps at me. And I think, I'm dead. I'm dead. This is a cougar got in this guy's house, and I'm dead. So anyway, he gloms onto me. And he puts his head in me, which is the size of a basketball, and smacks me. He wants to get petted. And he's growling. I thought he was, like, mad. He was purring. So he starts kneading into my chest with these needle claws and purring. Anyway, long story short, I grab a beer, sit down on the couch, pet him for a half an hour until my buddy shows up. He comes in, falls on the floor laughing hysterically because he forgot to tell me about his pet freaking cougar.
How do you forget to tell someone that there's a cougar in my... I'm telling you to go to my house when I'm not there, and I forget to mention that there's a cougar?
Yeah. It was apparently a new addition.
You have to remember, they had a bobcat or a mountain lion or something like that in San Francisco that was breaking into the zoo last week and ate three of the kangaroos. They couldn't figure out how the kangaroos were being slaughtered. They thought it was an inside job, but it turned out it was a wild mountain lion that was breaking into the zoo to do this, and it was a five-month-old. And they determined that it was so young, it was just going in there, but it was still huge.
It doesn't matter.
What is the in story on this thing? Did he let it go back in the wild? Did he take it to a sanctuary? Where is this thing now?
Right. So flash forward 2 years, I go to buy a sand rail about 50 miles away of Doom Buggy thing. Anyway, I walk in there, and it turns out it's a wild animal sanctuary. I walk in there, and lo and behold, I see this exact creature. I mean, same everything, bigger, though. And I said, I know that animal. And I said, did that come from this gentleman? And they said, yep, that's his cougar. And so they were a wild animal rescue, and they were trying to find a home for it in a zoo or whatever. But
it's too bad, you didn't know its name. You're like, come here, Sparky.
Yeah, it was tiny or something, but I don't believe that that's what they refer to it anymore. But most beautiful creature you have ever seen, the teeth and the eyes and the friendly purring and stuff. I still have the scars in my chest where he was kneading into my chest with those needles.
He was not kneading you. He was tenderizing you.
Did you?
That's going to be delicious later.
Do you know if he found this as a stray or what's the story on how he got this thing?
Well, these guys, there were three brothers. They were general contractors, and they were the wildest rednecks you've ever met. I've got stories, most of which I can't tell you on the radio. But yeah, no, these guys, I mean, they'd come to job sites and kill things. I had this giant beaver one time. They killed it, brought it to the job, and threw it under the house with me when I was plumbing under the house. I'm like, what the heck is this? And they said, it's a beaver. I said, oh, it's a damn beaver, but why is it bleeding all over the place? You know. Anyway, the million stories of these crazy guys. But yeah, he got it through a black market, basically.
Yeah. By the way, you're the first plumber that's called the show and said they were not there to deal with the brown snake. That throws for a loop.
Yeah, really did. That's crazy.
That is real crazy.
I would be terrified. I would not be inside petting it for 20 minutes waiting for the owner to come home. But
what do you do?
I guess at that point in time,
think about it. You have walked into my house. Hey, Miles, man, just go in and do whatever it is you're there to do. I forget to mention I have a pet cougar. Sorry. But now this thing is demanding that you pet it. So as far as you understand, as far as your communication goes, as long as you pet me, I won't kill you. My money says you are still sitting on my sofa petting my pet cougar. Hey, please call it away. Yeah. There's no way I'd get it.
Look, I
wouldn't turn my back on
my cat.
No.
My cat was, he had a hard time, and he could not get around. He limped everywhere. He had his hip broken when he got hit by a car. So he,
because that's what you wrestle.
It ripped his tail off. he looked like just, he probably looked a lot like Tigger. Not the most attractive on the outside.
That's fair.
But this cat had different issues. Like it physically could not get around and everything else. And then all of a sudden he started having a hard time not eating. And he went from the grand total of like 11 pounds all the way down to 7 pounds in 2 weeks.
Sure.
He just stopped eating. There was nothing I could do about it. But even at 7 pounds, he could destroy you. I mean, at 7 pounds, this cat, he took chunks out of my nose. I mean, there was the physical damage that a 7-pound cat...
He didn't like you.
The physical damage...
He did not like you.
...that a 7-pound cat can do to... Well, sometimes I would pick him up in the wrong place, and he would be in pain or whatever, and he would just lose it. You know, it wasn't always intentional. But, I mean, he would...
Not always.
I would look down, and I was
a lot
like,
of times.
I was like, man, it looked
sometimes
like...
Sometimes they punch me because I spit on them. Sometimes I'm just walking in my house, and I get punched. You know, like, yeah, maybe they don't like you.
And within 3 seconds, I mean, I was shredded. No matter what part he got with his mouth, with his claws, whatever it was, I mean, he got in.
But that's the thing about a house cat, right? You look at a house cat, and, you know, you recognize this is a lethal killing machine.
He was also feral.
It is designed to do nothing but kill and be super efficient. And I remember the first cat I ever had, which is because, like anything, you're dating a chick who finds it on a railroad track, so that's not a lie, and think of fitting a palm of her hand, and just has to have it, has to have it, has to have it. You date for a while, they move out, now it's your cat. And I never wanted the cat, but now it's my cat, so whatever. I'm running late for work. I don't remember why, but I had to iron a shirt for something. So something bigger is going on. And I'm ironing a shirt, and I see something move in the corner of my eye. I look down. There's nothing there. I'm like, whatever. Start ironing again. I see something move again. I realize there's this baby bird in my house. I assume the cat has brought it in from outside, but it's a baby bird. It can't quite fly. I'm like, this is weird, whatever. I scoop it up in the palm of my hand, and I'm going to take it outside. And I open up my screen door, and I try to do a little toss with it, very gentle, like a rainbow toss, you know, get it back out there. And this thing gets halfway through the rainbow, so right when it's about to arc back down, this cat flies from between my legs, and I mean snags this bitch out of midair. And like a cartoon, there's a single feather floating down. Dude, this bird is gone. Oh, and it was lightning fast. I'm like, oh, God. I guess I should have thought about that.
What is that video where they like they re-release like a falcon into
it's
the
a
wild?
Falcon or
is
something.
It a falcon?
And they're on like, the side of the
it's
highway.
It's like Ireland or someplace.
But it's these
like,
two old guys. These are like, elderly guys.
They look like falconers or like bird
but they've
conservationists
nursed this thing,
or something.
Right. They've nursed it back to health. And so much, they went to a public park and they're going to release this thing back.
But there's a highway beside it.
And Miles shows me this video and it starts very cool. And these guys... and. There's kind of the backstory. You know, they found it had a broken wing, whatever. They nurse it back to health. And they're sad because they buddied up with this thing, you know. But they got to let it go back into nature. So mm-hmm.
They take
let
off
it go.
His little helmet.
Right. And he does this one big circle around them. And then it's going to fly and be free. And as it goes across the highway, man, this semi-truck just smashes.
All you
this
see
thing.
Is like a Randy Johnson right. Poof of feathers.
It's horrible.
It's like a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to the head.
The looks on their faces.
Person, place, or thing. What was a strange encounter? 206-421-ROCK.
Are you watching it now,
I'm just watching it again. Right, so it's a falcon.
Oh, no, I got it. Oh, man,
it's the falcon named Kamikaze. Hang on. He's reacting.
Oh, no. He's all, he's going to cry.
All right. So they just release him. Right? And right. They named him and everything. But this falcon takes off, and he's just making a giant loop. And as he circles around this highway, and you see here in a second, oh!
Oh, no! Oh, there's two guys. Oh,
one guy just says, that didn't happen. A good bird was lost there. God, that's brutal.
It is terrible.
It's so terrible.
But this was a bad day.
Still funny, though. Person, place, or thing. What was a strange encounter? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Scott. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola!
Hey, long-time listener, like third or fourth time caller, just wanted to give you guys a shout out. You guys rock.
Oh, thank you, man.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
So, yeah, my close encounter or crazy encounter was me and probably 15 to 20 guys floating down the Colorado River, 20 years ago. Right in Lake Havasu area, just north of there, around Laughlin, and we were floating down the river. We had like an airplane survival raft.
Okay.
And we also had tubes and little boats, and we had we were drinking. We had a party ball in the middle of the thing, and And we were floating down, and most of us that were looking up, we were, like, cruising down, and we're, like, we're all wearing our Oakleys or what have you, you know. We're looking up at the sky, and we're seeing this object, and it's, like, zigzagging, doing, like, triangle maneuvers, and we're watching it for probably, I don't know, 4 minutes.
And this was in the middle of the day, I guess, because you guys were floating.
In the middle of the day, it's 110 degrees out. Yeah, it was like, it was pretty bizarre. And we're watching this thing, and it just stood still, and it would do a maneuver and stop, like, suddenly, and then move again, stop suddenly, and then, you know, maybe, you know, the 40 or 60 seconds into it, it was hard to tell time at that point because you were mesmerized, and, the thing just darted off like lightning. It was just gone.
And how many people saw this?
Probably about 12 of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's a ton of people that are seeing this thing happen. Okay, question for you. So you said you were on somebody had an airplane survival raft?
We had an airplane survival raft that held like 50 people.
Isn't that the chute that they deploy that's the emergency slide? Don't they double as the same thing?
It was a buddy of mine's and so we just air that thing up and we'd use it several times throughout the summer.
But it's insanely huge.
To keep it in the middle of the river, you know, type thing.
Okay. Let me ask you, was it circular or was it a rectangle?
The object we see, or the
No, the, raft, the raft.
It was kind of it was probably an eight-sided raft.
Okay.
Because
I always see these things deployed in certain situations when I'm looking at stuff. Like, they deployed something when Sully dropped the plane.
Sure,
into the river, but it was different than the slide raft because they were already in the water. So if they were to shoot that thing out the door, you know what I mean? It could have back up or whatever.
Is the slide a raft or is it just a slide?
It doubles as both.
All right.
Pay attention to the FAA mandated security measures that they tell you at the beginning?
No, he's hugging the cushion underneath his seat.
Yeah.
Like he's supposed to.
I'm just looking for the nearest exit.
All right.
Because in the event of an emergency, I'm going to be very, very calm.
Person, place, or thing. Yeah. What was a strange encounter? 206-421-ROCK.
Just real quick on that Falcon video. Someone says, I just watched the Falcon video. You guys are going to hell for laughing. And so am I. And here's another one to look for, Ted. Someone says, there's a similar video with a rabbit, I believe. They take it to an open field with nowhere for the rabbit to hide. Eagle got an easy meal.
Yeah, I think I've seen that one, too.
Damn.
You got to be careful with those little...
Something's waiting.
I was at a house, like at a beach... We were sitting there, and there was two small dogs, right? And they're both maybe, man, I'm trying to remember how big that dog was. Maybe 10 pounds, right? They're small dogs. So we're sitting there having a couple drinks, and we're like, ooh, an eagle. And then it's like, oh, two eagles. Then it's like, get those dogs.
Oh, no.
Because they are just circling the backyard. Like, they were going to take one of the dogs.
Yeah.
They're going to take both of the dogs.
They had a tree up near Blaine. One of the bigger trees that had a huge eagle nest in it. They say probably five or six generations of eagle families lived in that one nest on this tree. It's kind of up nearby by Semiahmoo. And this tree fell down. And in the local paper, they had a picture of the nest, which was enormous because it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It was full of animal collars.
Oh, yeah.
Straws,
fluffy,
all
biscuit,
kinds of different
nacho.
Things. You know what I mean? All kinds of weird objects as well. Like there's a little bob in there for your keys to put on.
Sure,
you know
sure.
What I mean? But the majority of the stuff in there was straight up animal collars. I mean, there was you looked at the picture and you went, there's no mistaking what that is. That's a lot of pets.
I almost feel like if eagles could read, this is how they'd set us up. They'd fly to the closest utility pole, say, oh, there's a missing dog. Good hunting.
Pretty much. Person, place, or thing, what was a strange encounter? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Matt. Welcome to the men's room.
Afternoon, boys.
Hola.
How y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Thank you, brother.
So, I do landscaping, and I do a bunch of McDonald's. And one night, I'm trimming trees in the drive-thru, because they need to go in through the middle of the night. And I did not realize that there was a homeless compound in the woods adjacent to the McDonald's. And I'm cleaning up a little bit, and I get grabbed from behind, and it's a homeless guy, and he's got me held from behind, wrapped around kind of a rear bear hug. And he puckered my butthole.
Yeah, but he did.
Yep.
What did he want? But,
he wanted money, food, whatever. He's so whacked out of his mind. I'd seen him so many times after that, but I had serviced at McDonald's for years, and that was the first time I'd ever seen him, and I literally saw him every week after that. And I would buy him food and whatnot, but just thank God I carry, because I broke free. I drew on him. The gun didn't even faze him, though. He just looked at me with a just a dead stare. It was pretty eerie.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But after that, you know, I'd seen him a few times, bought him some lunch or whatever, and, you know, he wouldn't say thank you or anything, but at least it would just calm him down.
Yeah, you didn't get a bear hug. Mm-hmm.
How gentle was the hug? Was it a nice hug or was it an aggressive hug? Was it like, come in, bro, or was it,
At first, I mean, it felt like he probably came up behind me at about 5 miles an hour. I'm kind of a chubby dude, I guess you could say, broad, 5'10", 230.
Good stats.
But he's got to be 140, 150 pounds if he didn't eat that much.
So he couldn't even get his arms around you?
Oh, yes, he could.
Okay.
I'm not that big. But yeah, it was pretty weird. It was really surreal because of that night. It was quiet. There was nothing going on. The McDonald's was super cool, and they actually closed the drive-thru down for me so I could just do my work. That was just
good
a
times.
Little, you know, quite odd. Yeah, quite
da,
odd.
Da, da, da.
It is a little weird. I remember, years ago, and you as a teen, you're drinking with your buddies. We're in downtown Baltimore, the Hyatt Regency. They had this elevated kind of landscaped area. Not a lot of people back there, but we're sneaking our beers. I go to take a leak in the bushes, right? So I whip it out, and my buddies are behind me. And this homeless dude, he's like, hey! I had no idea he was there. I, like, peed on his jacket. And this dude jumped up, man. I thought he was going to kill him. He thought I was doing it on purpose. I'm like, dude, honest to God, I did not know you were there.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.